With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Gabby Roslin Podcast. Hello, welcome to That Gabby Roslin Podcast, part of the Acast Creator Network. My guest this week is the actress Diane Guerrero, famous for Netflix shows such as Orange is the New Black and Jane the Virgin. She is one of the stars of Disney's new beautiful animation, Encanto, which opens on November the 24th. It features songs by Lin-Manuel Miranda, which are gorgeous. Diane was actually in Colombia when we recorded this episode. She spoke so honestly and passionately about her own family, being born in the US to Colombian parents, and the nightmares she went through at the very young age of 14 when she came home from school one afternoon to find that her parents weren't there. Later that day, she found out they were being deported. She talks about her own feelings of imposter syndrome when, at an awards do, she saw Meryl Streep, and she tells me that she was too unconfident to go and talk to her. She does get very excited discussing the plans for her own upcoming wedding, and it may have something to do with singing. This is a very honest and open chat, and at times heartbreaking, especially when she talks about her struggles. I was left with a feeling of such respect for her and what she stands for and what she's trying to do to change people's out-of-date opinions. I do hope you enjoy listening. Please, can I ask you a favour? Would you mind following and subscribing, please? By clicking the follow or subscribe button. This is completely and utterly free, by the way. And you can also rate and review on Apple Podcasts, which is the purple app on your iPhone or iPad. Simply scroll down to the bottom of all of the episodes. I know there have been quite a few now. And you'll see the stars where you can tap and rate and also please write a review. Thank you so much. Diane, it's such a pleasure to talk to you for so many reasons. I've immersed myself in your world over the past couple of days to research you. And I love that one of the things I found was you played a game on, it's on YouTube, where you say, never have I ever been in a musical. Yes, you have. Yes, you have.
I did it. I cannot believe that it's going to happen. And it's been my lifelong dream. And to be able to say that that it happened this year in one of like the most kind of craziest years of a lot of our lives, of mine especially too, there were a lot of changes for me, transformations. And, you know, I really saw what it looked like to lean into that. I really saw what it looked like to allow myself to move forward and go through the uncomfortable, because it brought me here. And I actually did get to do a musical with Lin-Manuel Miranda. Like, what?
I know. I mean, if you're going to do a musical with anybody, you're going to do it with him. And there's wonderful footage of you singing a song from Hamilton. And do you know, it's really weird. Now, In the Heights is one of my favorite. I love In the Heights.
Yeah.
And when they do it back on stage, you know you've got to be in that. I mean, there's no two ways. You call him up and you say, hey, okay, I'm here now. I'm doing this. You're going to do it on stage. You've got to.
I have to do something on stage. I mean, that. So now I did the musical like Disney, but now my dream is to be on stage. And yeah, you're right. I mean, I do know these people now, so I should just be like, hey, give me a shot. You know, it's funny, when they were auditioning for In the Heights, the film, I got the audition.
Oh my God.
And oh yeah. I got the audition, but I couldn't bring myself to send it in.
No, why?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just like one of those things. I was, you know, dealing with a lot of like uncertainty, a lot of feelings of, oh, I'm not good enough, you know, which I think a lot of people can like relate to, especially, you know, when we're talking about Encanto, the movie I just did with Lynn, is that feeling of not feeling special and maybe your gift is not enough. And that's kind of like what I felt like. I did those audition tapes and I just didn't think they were good enough. And so I didn't send them in. And it was, you know, once you see the whole production, I'm like, okay, everybody who was right for the part got it, but I didn't even give myself that shot. And so when the Disney film opportunity came about and they're like, you have to audition with a song, I was like, I really, really want this. And I don't care if it's perfect. I don't care how it sounds. I'm just going to bring myself to it. And I got it. So, you know, it's really a testament to that. Yeah.
Yeah. But also things, I mean, I'm a great believer in things happening for a reason, and what you've been through in your life and you're, you know, testing yourself and having the confidence, but suddenly this was the one. And it's a gorgeous, it's a family cartoon, and it's beautiful. I mean, it is beautiful in every way, isn't it?
It's gorgeous. I mean, the colors, the music, the sounds, the animation, I mean, it's next level. I grew up watching Disney and I would transport into those worlds. And, you know, honestly, they were really like a lot of what saved me and what kept me dreaming for more and for just that beauty that I saw that Disney offered, you know, that beautiful world that you could live in, you know, if you just gave yourself that chance. And for me, as a little Colombian girl, watching these films, you know, I was always trying to find myself in it. You know, we were in an interview with John Leguizamo and Stephanie Beatriz, and he was saying, you know, the closest character that he could relate to was Mowgli in Jungle Book. And, you know, people used to call me Mowgli. You know, my family members used to call me Mowgli. I had a very Mowgli haircut anyway, but you know, that or Pocahontas, you know, were like the ones that we sort of connected to. And, but yet, you know, they weren't really what we grew up with. And so it was really hard to like imagine a world with you in it, you know, and especially for like Colombia and Latin America, you know, we don't get that kind of representation that is beautiful and magical, and maybe kind of a lot of the bad stuff that comes from it. So,
but it's about time. I mean, it's actually shocking that it's taken so long for that to happen. When you put it like that, when we talk about representation and diversity, and we talk about it a lot over here in the UK, and I hope and pray it's talked about a lot over there in America as well and around the world. It needs to be talked about. But you're so right, and that it's taken till 2021 for you to see that on screen in a cartoon. That's an awful state of play, really, isn't it? We've got to do more.
We do have to do more. We have to do better. And we have to just believe that we can do these things. You know, sometimes we get stuck in like what works and, you know, not doing the work. And what you know, sometimes we get caught up in like, well, how do we explain this family to the masses? And well, you know, we're all human beings, right? We all come from a family. We all play these different roles. We all want to be with each other. And there are a lot of things that come between us and our family and come between us and being ourselves. That's universal. But telling the story through the lens of a Latinx family, a Colombian family, you know, sometimes the powers that be, people making decisions, have a really hard time going through that threshold of uncomfortableness and, you know, of actually getting to learn what a different culture looks like and what they do. Like, that's why I'm so impressed with our directors, Jared and Byron and everybody who's a part of this movie. They came to Colombia and researched our country here. And it took about 4 or 5 years to make this film because that was the level of dedication. But I, for one, want quality over quantity. And yeah, I think that we need to start being more intentional with the stories that we tell and start thinking, you know, more about how these kids are going to feel by seeing themselves on screen, by being represented. You know, I talk about positive mirroring. We need to see ourselves more in a positive light. And I think this movie really does that. I'm so excited for people to see it.
Oh, it does. Oh my goodness. It really does. And it's a joy. And again, I'm going to use the same phrase I just said, but it's a family film. And I think those are quite few and far between. There's so many superhero films that I've lost count. And I know my teenagers love them, but it's a joy. It's just a joy. Congratulations on it. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
No, I mean it. So when are you going to make, because your life story is so incredibly powerful and poignant and extraordinary for people who don't know your story. We're obviously going to talk about it, but your story should be on screen because you've written your books. Your story should be on screen. You've got to make the story. And it happens far too often. What's happened to you in life? This has got to be told.
Oh, for sure. You know, I'm, you know, before when I released my book In the Country We Love, and I, you know, I kind of started talking about my story and got more involved in social activism and storytelling in that way. The thought of making a film out of my life or a series or anything like that was very terrifying because I really didn't know how I was going to tell it, because I didn't want to tell it how everybody else wanted me to tell it. You know, I had plenty of meetings of people who were like interested in making my story into a film or a series, but everyone had all these different opinions that and ideas that really didn't fit what I really saw wouldn't make my film have the impact that I think it needed. And I think what I really needed was to sit on it, marinate on it, and grow. And that's really what I've done. And so I am so pumped, so jazzed to tell this story my way. And I'm so happy that it didn't happen just right away. You know, those few meetings with CBS or with Fox didn't work out, you know, for a reason. Like you said, everything happens for a reason. It did, because I see my story a lot more clearly now, and I cannot wait to share that story with the world, but it's going to happen.
Of course it is. Of course it is. So for people who don't know your story, you were born in New Jersey, and then you moved to Boston with your parents. And then when you were 14 years old, you came home from school and your parents weren't there. I mean, it is as dramatic as that. And my daughter's 14. And I've discussed your story with her. She's a huge fan of yours, by the way. And she just said, Mom, she was my age. So for people who don't know the story, I don't want to tell your story. This is your story to share, if you're happy to share it on this podcast.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for doing that research on me and for making me feel comfortable to tell the story. You know, so many times my story isn't, or stories like these aren't really handled with care. And you know, at one point was very volatile because my family emigrated from Colombia around early 80s, and I was born in 86. But since I was born, so meaning like even when I was an idea in my mother's imagination or a twinkle in her eye, my parents were struggling to get their paperwork to be legalized here in the States. And it was really, really difficult for them. And when I was born, they were still going through the same kind of issues. And so that was sort of my life. I heard the adults sort of always be afraid of the possibility of deportation. And, you know, and that's what happened. My family was separated by deportation. I came home one day and my parents were gone. And I had to make the decision as a 14-year-old to either go to Colombia, that's where my family's from, a place that I had never been, or to continue my studies in the States. And I guess very much like Mirabel, the character in Encanto, to save my family, you know, and that became my mission. I, at 14 years old, my mission was to save my family and to bring them together. And it's taking me a very long time to do that, but every decision in my life has been with that in mind.
Diane, I as a mother and as a human being, there's so many parts of this that I just want to be there next to you and holding your hand, because for a 14-year-old girl who's going through so many changes anyway, you know, I've been a teenager, I remember, sort of, it's a while ago, but to go through all that you went through and that there was nobody that came and checked on you, this is the bit, as a mother, I just want to go and hold you, that you weren't checked on and that you were having to cope with this all on your own, and you had to keep your family story secret, you kept your own personal pain and journey that you were going through, and whatever you choose to share, you've shared in your book, which is amazing. That's the part that breaks my heart still today. I know you're a grown woman and you're powerful and you're strong and you're a beautiful soul and you share your story for all the right reasons, but there was nobody came to check on you. What on earth is going on? Why?
Well, you know, sadly, that's the reality for a lot of immigrant families and a lot of families of color in the U.S. You know, in immigration, being an immigrant or a refugee is criminalized, and more so when you're a person of color. And the reality is that, you know, we are living in a very racist society, and where Black and brown people are not afforded the same luxuries as white people are. And so being an immigrant is very, very difficult, and is really looked down upon. And, you know, I think that when it comes to immigrant children or children of immigrant parents, you know, it's the same thing. It's like your life is not valued as much as somebody else's.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So that's why we're having these conversations. That's why we need to talk about how every human life matters, right?
Yes,
how families just should not be separated, regardless of what, you know, what is going on. It's never good to separate families. It's never good to just not check up on a child. And to just say, well, they're, you know, kind of like let them be swallowed up by the earth, or let them bootstrap, you know, as a common saying in the United States. Like, I also was afforded a lot because I was a U.S. citizen, you know, so my story is not even as bad or as worse as a lot of kids that have experienced in the States, losing their family or their family being deported, or even themselves being afraid of being deported. So I was incredibly lucky that I was born on U.S. soil, that I had that ability to sort of move around and have access to public education, Boston public education, you know, and have the arts in that school really propel me towards this career and this future that I have now. But that's what we're talking about here, is that, you know, the politics are all wrong. You know, we're not, it's not difficult, you know, to have a comprehensive immigration system. They just don't want to.
The most important thing, and I think, you know, through the pandemic as well, and actually in the film that you're starring in and talking to you, the most important thing that we've all learned and we should carry with us all the time is about being kind. Kindness, just be kind to everybody, no matter what their age, what their sexuality, what their color. I mean, the fact that we're even having this conversation, I find heartbreaking. We shouldn't be having this conversation anymore.
Yeah, it shouldn't be so hard for families to stay together, you know, and we experience so much family separation all over the world. That can't be good for us. It's not good for us moving forward or for us creating a society that is worthwhile. We're constantly fighting all of these evils, and it's like we're constantly fighting or having to repair, you know, all this brokenness that has been imposed on people. And you're right. It's like, if we just thought about like what this really did to families and the long-term repercussions and the mental health repercussions, you know, I think they should be included in the discussion. But, you know, when we're discussing politics and business and money, you know, sometimes that's just, you know, falls by the wayside. It's like, you know, people don't care. Love is the strongest and most powerful tool that we have.
Yes.
I read this book called All About Love, by Bell Hooks, that really has taught me to like lean into that. You know, I was in college and in school, and I would say, well, what about love? And people would laugh at me. You know, people laugh at you when you're talking about compassion and fairness and equality. People don't want to hear that. But I would say that to anybody who's listening to this, like, if you feel that, lean into that, because that is the key. And I think the more people lean into that, the better off we will be.
What's so wonderful is that you speak about all of this so much. So there are going to be young people, like I said, my 14-year-old daughter, who now, I mean, apart from it, I've got to talk about Jane the Virgin, because my kids love it. Oh my God. They love it. Just, you know, it seems to be on all the time in our house. But the fact that you are speaking out, and the fact that people listen to you, and young girls, young guys will listen to you and take on board what you're saying. I mean, you know, Orange is the New Black is such a massive, massive show throughout the world. That you speak out and that you say something is so powerful. But it must, sometimes you must think, do you feel that you've got a heavy weight on your shoulders to be the spokesperson, or do you feel comfortable in that role?
No, I don't feel comfortable in this role.
Yeah.
And you know, it's I'm feeling more and more comfortable as I go. I feel like when I first started and I, you know, I first shared something so personal, a lot, you know, the response was incredible, you know, there was some backlash and response of like, oh, you know, actresses, you know, talking politics, you know, shut up, you know, just keep to your whatever you do and go back to your country, kind of things like that were very hurtful. But, you know, also a lot of the positive attention was also, you know, if a person is not prepared, can also be harmful. Because then a lot of that relies on, you know, is on you. And I thought, gosh, I've already presented myself this way. I can't say no. So for the beginning of all of this, I was just saying yes a lot, even though, you know, I couldn't take it. I couldn't handle a lot of that pressure. I didn't want to go on CNN and speak for the entire immigrant community, because my experience is not every immigrant's experience. And so, you know, learning how to say no to those things and take care of myself took a while. And now that I am taking care of myself, that I do have a clear understanding of what my role is in all of this, I'm not the one who carries all of this. I'm just one person. And I use my platform in the way that I see that is best for me. And I like to speak about these issues because I care about them. But I'm not, I'm certainly not the spokesperson or the representative of all, you know, immigrant communities. I'm just not. And I had to like, you know, I had to like learn that. And the way you continue to exercise that is by saying no. And I only, absolutely. It's by saying no.
No
is a powerful word. And also to know that there are so many people doing this work, and we need to highlight those people, you know? And so I'm just happy to be here and join forces and follow the lead of all these incredible leaders and activists and you know, human rights folks. I mean, it's really incredible work that they're doing. I just want to keep doing that.
Yeah, good for you. I think you're fantastic. I really do.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Okay, let's talk about those TV shows. So Jane the Virgin, as I mm-hmm. said, it seems to be on all the time in the house. Here's corny question. I need a sound that goes wah, 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 wah. But was it as much fun to do as it is for us to watch it?
Oh my gosh, of course. It was so fun. That set was incredible. It was so much fun. And, it was a comedy. It was heartwarming. I was working with incredible people who became my friends. I love the fantasy sequences. I mean, who doesn't love a fantasy, fantasy sketch or sequence? I mean, man, it was a really magical place. And to get to tell the story through this lens of a Latinx family, was also very special. And to have like the show be such a success in the way that it was, was huge for us. Every time you go to casting, what they say is that, we don't know, Latino families don't work. We can't tell these
stories. No, not still. Surely not still.
Of course. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. But that's the thing through shows like Jane the Virgin, through shows like Orange is the New Black, is that we start to see it's like, we don't have to explain why we are. Why we are here, why we exist. We just exist. We just are. And we are just enough. And you can see yourselves through us. Just because we share, we have a different culture or come from a different background doesn't mean that you can't see yourself in us. And we're all really essentially like, we're American. We all are. These are the Americas. So try to segregate or to exclude or to separate is just silly. And we see that with breakout shows like Jane the Virgin. Jane the Virgin is an incredible show, and we didn't need to explain our Latin roots. We didn't need to hold up a chili pepper so people could understand, who the hell we were.
Oh, that's just shocking. I mean, I laugh, but I laugh in complete shock. You go, hey, this is what we're about. Oh my goodness me. But also Orange is the New Black. When you're in a show that's a worldwide huge, I mean, it's like being in a Disney cartoon. Like you say, you grew up, we all grew up. Disney's a part of our lives, but I've never been in one of their cartoons. So there we go. But Orange is the New Black, when everybody's talking about a show around the world, do you feel that as an actor as well? Do you get that feeling that everyone's talking about it? And when you turn up to the events, I love the story about you. There was Meryl Streep and you were the only one that didn't go up and talk to her or something.
Yeah.
When you're at that, it's like Meryl Streep watches our show. That's cool.
I know. I think it's just such a message of self-acceptance, and whatever level you are, whether you're just starting, whether you're in the middle, whether you want more, whether you are at the height of your career, everyone struggles with self-acceptance, and wherever you are, be yourself and know that you're there for a reason. So many times I second guess to myself, I shouldn't be here. Why am I, that made honestly experiences like Orange is the New Black, like Jane the Virgin, sometimes very hard for me because I still could not. Yeah. I could not wrap my head around me being there. And that was something that I had to work through, like through therapy and group therapy and mindfulness and grounding exercises to figure out how to allow myself to just be in these spaces. Because, and I honestly think that it's a lot because I really didn't grow up watching a lot of people of color on screen, especially Latinx folk. You know, I didn't see those representations. So when I was in that room, it was like, how am I here? And is this right? And that's the whole Meryl Streep thing. I couldn't go up to her because I could not accept that I was there. And to be on a show so big like Orange is the New Black, I mean, for a young actor who, you know, was walking around this world, never telling anybody that her parents were gone. You know, I felt like I had no base, no one to tell, you know, this was happening to me. So it didn't seem real until I shared my story. And that's why I did, like right after Orange is the New Black, I saw all those women empowered the hell out of me. You know, they were like, I'm here, I'm queer, I have no fear, I am a woman, I am brown, I am big, I am little, I am, you know, I have curly hair, I have straight, whatever it is, I am here. And that really, really, really resonated with me and allowed me to say, hey, I can't hide anymore because I can't be a single second in this room without telling my truth.
So if you saw Meryl Streep now, please tell me you would go up and you'd say hi, because you're just this, you're a beautiful soul. You're an honest, beautiful soul who loves love.
You're right.
Please tell me you'd have the confidence to go up there and say hello to her.
You know what? This was so helpful. You know what I think I would do now? If I saw her, I would go up to her and say, hi, Meryl. My name is Diane Guerrero and I love love. And that's,
yes,
and I love, love. That's all. That's all I would say. And then see what she would respond. And that's it.
You've got to do it, because you know you'll be in the room with her soon. You will be in the room with her soon.
I will.
And at that moment. Yes, I love that. I love that. So in this podcast, we always ask people what makes them belly laugh. And you're a very passionate soul, obviously, but I'm sure you can laugh. I can see it in your eyes.
Oh, you've got
that twinkle. Okay, so what makes you really lose it laughing?
Oh, what makes so many things. But I love doing a bit, you know? Like, I just love, like, okay, I'll share with you what I did with my partner, soon-to-be husband, on the plane. And I love having, like, a buddy to you know, play jokes and comedy off of. And so he got a drink, a ginger ale from the you know, that they were passing out drinks on the plane. And he just started, he was like, oh, hey, how's it going? And he just like slurps a drink and he's like, right. And then he just keeps doing it. And I just like laugh. And then without him expecting it, I slurp mine. And then we just kept slurping those drinks like the entire ride while we were drinking it. And like that kind of comedy and humor and spontaneity is what makes me belly laugh. I live for it. Just like the dumbest thing. I like just like silly, quirky, you know, kind of, you know, knock, knock jokes. You know, that's me. I want jokes, bits on bits and jokes on jokes, like all day long.
I love that. I love that. So, right. So you're engaged. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Have you got the wedding all planned? Is it soon?
No.
Don't tell me exactly when. Don't worry. I'm not going to come. Don't worry.
No, we don't. We don't. I think that we've sort of like waited for us to really feel ready. I think that, you know, we did the whole engagement thing, but we were like, okay, let's see what that feels like. And let's get to know each other some more and see if this is, you know, what we really want. You know, I feel like we got engaged with a disclaimer of like, we need to get to know each other better. So it wasn't, you know, it was like, we wanted to be engaged quickly, but we also wanted the freedom to get to know each other and to work on ourselves and work on ourselves with each other. So I think that has been really positive. I mean, we've done couples therapy. We've done therapy, you know, individually. We continue to do it. We're going to start family therapy soon with my folks. We've been really preparing ourselves to see like, okay, are we a good match? So now I think it's been 3 years that we've been engaged. And so now we're starting to come around and being like, hey, I think we could really maybe do this.
Oh, and you, please tell me you're going to sing at the wedding. You've got to sing at the wedding. Surprise him with a song.
Oh, I won't even surprise. I mean, there's going to be an entire set list. I mean, I'm basically, you know how some people have like performers, other, I'm performing on in my own wedding. That's it.
Yes.
Oh yeah. 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 Oh, absolutely. I mean, I sing all the time. We're both musical. He plays the trumpet and he's quite a bit of a jazz head. And so am I. So, I mean, we just connect on music all the time. So I'm definitely singing it in the wedding and it's not going to be a surprise. Like everybody who knows me and loves me knows that I'm going to be singing in the wedding. I never talk about anything like that. That's too personal. I think since, especially I shared my story because, you know, it became a lot personal for me. Yeah, it was very personal, but because I found myself in this sort of like quest to like save my family and to like make sure that I was going to do my part, that like nobody experienced this or anybody experienced this, that, you know, family separation or anything like that, you know, saw themselves in my story and saw that there was a light somewhere, you know, that there were possibilities out there for them. And so I became very nervous about sharing about my life.
Yeah, no, but it's also I think it's really important that you hold on to that. I mean, you do a podcast, I'm Not Okay, which it's awesome podcast. Congratulations on it. But there's so much honesty in that I love the fact that you keep some of yourself back. And I think that's really important. It's important for you two as well when you eventually do get married, because now we know that it's going to happen, which is great. Just keep it for you two. Those moments you have to keep for you two. Sometimes when you close your door, it's like, okay, and that's it. Bye-bye. This is now for us. And that's really special.
Totally, totally important to do it. And I think that's what really like has helped me, you know, moving forward, especially like, you know, sharing my story was really traumatic. It was very traumatic for me, especially because I didn't have the tools, you know, these tools that I have now, which are like called boundaries, apparently.
Yes.
I didn't know anything about boundaries. I'm like, what are boundaries? And, you know, how do I control my anger? So those are new tools that I have now, and where I have a personal life and I have limits, and I do like to be, you know, this is my profession. You know, I love sharing stories. I love storytelling in all sorts of ways, you know, whether it's on my podcast, you know, in a Disney movie or on screen, film or television, or even like documentaries. Like I am an avid documentary viewer, watcher, and I aspire to make my own documentary. So I'm just a storyteller and I cannot help that.
I think you are lovely. When you come to the UK, let me know when you're in the UK, because I have got to sit in real life opposite you, because I think we could just talk for 100 years.
We could.
Diane, you're so lovely. You really are. And this show Encanto is beautiful. It's colourful and it's got all these wonderful messages. And you're, like we said, you're about, you love love and carry on doing that. And just be happy and look after yourself, sweet girl. And I'm warning you now, in London, that's it. We're having a day out together.
I can't wait. I love London and I cannot wait to go back. I was at Regent's College for a semester and I just absolutely loved it. And I can't wait to do it now as an adult who is just, you know, a little more happier with herself.
Well, I look forward to seeing you and congratulations on the movie and lots of love, my sweet.
Thank you, darling.
Thank you so much for listening. And in the next episode of the podcast, in honor of World AIDS Day, David Furnish. That Gabby Roslin podcast is proudly produced by Cameo Productions. Music by Beth Macari. Could you please tap the follow or subscribe button? And thanks so much for your amazing reviews. We honestly read every single one and they mean the world to us. Thank you so much.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.